Welcome to Break Screen, the podcast that invites you to dive into the darkness of your screen. Let's explore urban legend and other horror stories. Today, we will dive headfirst into the abyss of the digital world, where pixels turn you into nightmares.
Imagine for a moment, you are alone in the silence of the night. Your fingers glide over the cold keys of your keyboard. Why is the screen in front of you draw you in like a magnet? You innocently click on a link, and suddenly you find yourself plunged into a story that should never have been told.
But this is the risk that our guests have taken. We can welcome Chloe.
Hi, thank you for the invitation.
We can also welcome Nora.
Hello, everyone.
And our last guest is Mary.
Hello.
Chloe, Noah, and Mary will recount to you the most terrifying events that have occurred online. Their stories will slip into your song, haunting your dreams and shaking your certainties.
Before we move on to the exciting part of adventure, we would like to tell you a little more about a black screen.
Yes, indeed. With this, the first edition of our podcast, we want to share something unique with you. Something strange out of your worst nightmares.
That's why we want to share creepypasta with you. These words, also not very terrifying, hide behind them the most disturbing stories and testimonies imaginable. These stories, typically designed to be scary, disturbing, or strange, have a tendency to be easily and quickly shared on the internet. Hence, the pasta, a contraction of copy and paste. And in a world like ours, it's impossible to imagine a story where the digital doesn't have its place. Making you know these stories is the goal of black screen.
Unfortunately, I haven't most of personal to tell you, which is why tonight we welcome three young women who agreed to share their wordless experience or stories found on the internet with us.
Let's sit together in the dark, quietly, in front of the fireplace. Take a sip and let's discover what lies behind your screens. Let's welcome around this fireplace Mary, who for this first edition of your Black Screen podcast have something to tell us.
Thank you for your introduction. It's a pleasure to be here. Hello to all of the listeners of Black Screen. Today, I'm going to tell you the story of Ellie, a young woman who wrote on the Reddit platform about what happened to her years ago. Now, let's get started. I'm Ellie, and I used to be just like any other girl of my age, glued to my phone, scrolling through social media for hours. It all changed one night, when a simple curiosity turned into my worst nightmare. It began innocently enough. I was bored, flicking through stories and posts, when I stumbled upon a private account named Echoes of the Void. It had a single post with a caption that read, "DM for the truth you seek." Intrigued, and with nothing better to do, I sent a message. "What truth?" The reply came instantly. "Look closer to see what's hidden right before your eyes." Attached was an image that seemed like a regular selfie I had posted days ago, but with a subtle, disturbing difference. There was a shadowy figure standing in the background, barely visible. Thinking it was a sick joke, I tried to brush it off, but curiosity got the better of me, and I replied, "Who is this?" There was no response. Days passed, and I began noticing odd occurrences, both online and in my real life. My social media feeds started showing me posts and ads that felt uncomfortably personal, hitting at things only I could know. My phone's camera would occasionally turn on by itself, capturing fleeting moments of my room. I convinced myself it was just a series of coincidences, or maybe a hacker playing mind games. Then came the turning point. I received another message from Echoes of the Void, this time a video. It was a compilation of clips taken from my phone's camera, clips I never recorded, showing me in my most private moments, unaware of being watched. The final clip was the most chilling, It showed me sleeping in the same shadowy figure from the selfie standing over my bed, its features obscured by darkness. Panicked, I tried to confront whoever was behind the accounts, but my messages went unanswered. I reported the account, but it disappeared before any action could be taken. I wanted to go to the police, but what would I tell them? That a social media account was stalking me? That a shadowy figure appeared in my room at night? I had no proof other than the creepy messages and videos, which could easily be dismissed as doctored. I start to feel watched at every moment, jumping at shadows and the smallest of sounds. My phone, once a source of entertainment and connection, had become a device of terror. I deleted my social media accounts, hoping to end the nightmare, but the feeling of being watched never left me. One night, I woke up to the sound of my phone camera clicking. Frozen in fear, I slowly turned to face the noise. There, in the dim light of my room, stood the shadowy figure from the videos, its eyes glowing faintly in the darkness. I screamed and ran, leaving everything behind, including the phone. I'm writing this from a new city, with new identity, but the fear has never left me. I avoid cameras and keep my online presence to an absolute minimum, but I can feel it. It's still there. It follows me. So please, who you read me, be careful what you share online. You never know who or what is watching.
This is one of the most unsettling stories you have found for us here, Marie. Thank you for telling us so well. It's really courageous of Ellie to speak out about this experience.
Here I come to give me chills. And I can only imagine how disturbing it must have been to live through those moments. It's a chilling reminder of the danger of lurking online and how easily our sense of security can be shattered.
It's a rather warning. Ellie reminds us all to be mindful of what we share and who we interact with on the web. It's true that we have no way of knowing who is hiding behind a screen, an image, a pseudonym. Before continuing, we offer you a short musical break to discover Hey Kids by Molina and Latte Verlaine immediately on Radio Pulsar.
Oh,
We are still on Radio Pulsar. Welcome to those who join us.
That's a very fitting introduction. This is first edition of our Black Screen podcast. Already promises you captivating stories. But let's not stop here. Let's continue before the fire around which we are gathered is extinguished. Chloe is going to begin a new story.
We always said that people can know everything you do on the internet. Do you believe it to be true? This story will make you wonder how much people on the internet knows about you. Remember to always keep your eyes open or your computer. Let's begin. The story I'm about to read to you was discovered in a USB driver in the woods. The date was 4th September 2015. I just moved to Denver to start a new job. I bought a nice house in the suburb for me and my dog, Rocky. Many contractors came to do small works like electricity, setting my internet connections, basic stuff when you move to a new place. To better understand my story, I am going to describe to you my house. There are two floors. Downstairs is the kitchen on the right, the living room on the left, and in front of the door is the stairs. When you go up the stairs, there is one guest bathroom on the left and my bedroom and the bathroom on the right. Very simple house for one person, but what made me fall in love with this house is the big windows that let the warm Colorado sun inside. I always had the strange feeling I was being watched in this house. At the time, I just thought it was because I have never lived in a house with such big windows. And the house next to me was very close. I had the occasion to meet my neighbors and they were very friendly. So I felt better and less paranoid. A few weeks before I moved in, a woman was brutally murdered in a house at night just 30 kilometers from my place. To me and everyone else, it was another terrible femicide. So I just moved on with my life. Until, 2 months later, another woman was killed at night in her house in the same area. Not a big deal, as I said, femicide are tragically very ordinary, but the context of the two murders were very similar. One morning, I went running with my dog, and I noticed my next door neighbor had moved out. I had not seen them pack or came across a moving truck. A thought made my entire spine shudder with fear. My feeling of being watched was still there, but my neighbors were gone. I bought big curtains to cover all the windows and started living under the real stress of being watched. The curtains didn't change anything. I always felt eyes on my back, examining my every move. A few weeks later, another woman was killed in the same circumstances. She was living alone in her house and was murdered in her bed at night. This time, the media stopped talking about femicide and started theorizing about a serial killer. Nobody has been arrested for the two previous murders, and the case were very similar. When the police and the media did not share specific details of the murder, I started digging, but nothing. The mystery thickened. A few weeks later, another woman was murdered, again, with the same modus operandi. This time, it was not only the media talking about a serial killer, but the police as well. This is when I really started being afraid. All women were living in Denver, like me. They were living alone in a house in the suburbs, like me. I could not live in fear. So, I went into the dark web, a smaller bit of mine. What I saw made my entire body shudder with horror. It was me. I was live on a website with 100,000 of viewers. A countdown was added, 40 days. As I looked up to search for a camera, the countdown dropped to 5 hours. I felt like dying. What will happen in 5 hours? I searched the website and I saw something I never thought even in my darkest nightmare. Here it was, the murders video of the four women. My brain just connected everything. I was next. In 5 hours, this live serial killer will murder me here, in my house. But I was ready to die or face him. So I waited. The USB driver died before we could read the end. We don't know what happened that night.
Thank you, Chloe, for sharing this story with us. It quickly helps us understand the stakes. While the internet may be at the root of everyone's life, very few people realize the hidden darkness that lurks behind it.
It's true that very few people consider the possibilities available to us when it's come to doing harm. For many, the internet is a blessing, but for others, it's the source of their misfortune.
It's no longer just a matter of simple data. It's up to each of us to understand that our life now belongs on the internet.
To finish this fourth edition, on story left, on story to plunge a last time into a nightmare, on story that is proposed to us by Noura.
Hello everyone, I'm really happy to be here with you to describe a story that a young lady announced on her Facebook account. Our story begins with a scary application called The Mirror. It promised to show you how you would look in the future with just a selfie. People thought it was just fun at first. They took selfies, excited to see their future selves. But by time, things got weird. The future pictures weren't nice. Some showed scary faces, others were all dark and gloomy. Even though some people warned against it, the application got more and more popular. One night, a young woman called Emily decided to give mirror application a try. She took a selfie and waited nervously. When her future picture popped up, it was super creepy. Her future self looked all spooky, surrounded by shadows. A message came up, "Your future is set." Emily tried to delete the application, but it wouldn't go away. The creepy picture kept haunting her. She tried to tell her friends, but they didn't believe her. Then, one by one, people who used the mirror application started disappearing. Emily knew she had to do something. She found out where the creator of the application, Dr. Blackwood, lived. It was an old, creepy house on the outskirts of town. She went here, feeling scared but determined. The house was dark and spooky. Cobwebs hung from the ceiling, and the floor creaked with every step. Emily's heart pounded as she explored the eerie rooms, searching for Dr. Blackwood. Suddenly, she heard a scream that made her jump. It was so loud and scary. Emily hesitated, but she knew she had to keep going. She stumbled upon a secret door hidden behind a curtain. With shaky hands, she pushed it open and went inside. It led her to a strange room filled with computers buzzing and blinking in the dim light. There, she found Dr. Blackwood, his eyes glowing with a creepy light. He told her about his plan to use the application to trap people in scary dreams. Emily's heart raced with fear, but she refused to let him win. With a burst of courage, she smashed the computers, breaking the app's spell. As the house shook and crumbled around her, Emily ran for her life, waiting to warn others about the dangers of scary applications. And even though mirror application was gone, its message remained: be careful what you trust online. Not everything is what it seems. Remember, sometimes the scariest thing is what hides behind the screen.
I think you could not have found a better conclusion to your story, Nora.
I think that pretty much sums it.
With this first edition of our podcast, Black Screen, we want to remind you that a lot of danger hides behind your screens.
But also had a good time with you around some stories.
Thank you for listening to us, and thank you to Chloe, Marie, and Nora for sharing these compelling stories with us. Our first edition of the podcast Black Screen ends here. We leave you on the Radio Pulsar with Into the Rhythm from Colors in the Street. Maybe you will.